October 22nd, 2022, it's the Wife of Pedro Show. Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. We started off with John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, live at the Five Spot, 1957. I mean you. And somebody's making a fucking lot of noise. You can't tell. You can probably tell people I'm not Man Alone because those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, they have Kel Johansson, aboard Kel. And by the way, we had journals after John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. You're making a buttload of noise there you probably can't realize. But maybe shuffle your lawyer papers later. Let's do the radio show. Act.
Okay.
Now, Minutemen only used three acts because we fucking didn't do all three verses. We only did two verses, so we never titled it Act. It was always Act. And that was in tribute to you guys because we did an Econo version of our already Econo song. Cal, Yertle's such big inspiration to myself, D. Boone, and Georgie and Minutemen. Oh, your buttloads. But I want to find out about your music, your journey through music. I've had Kevin on. I've had John on.
Sure.
Now it's your turn.
Right.
So please bring your earliest musical memory, please.
Here. You know, it's funny. I grew up in Anaheim, and my dad was a big jazz guy. He listened to big band music. He listened to Benny Goodman on clarinet, Glenn Miller band, but he also really liked vocal bands. He was into a band called the Mills Brothers. He really liked the Ink Spots. And one thing that drove the family crazy was he liked barbershop quartets. So he'd always get these compilation albums after they had their international competition. And he'd play these live albums with different barbershop quartet people singing. So we got as much barbershop quartet as most people do in a lifetime in the short time that he was playing that music at home.
So that's your earliest memories, barbershop.
Right,
okay,
right.
Okay, along with those other bands. He probably had a record collection, right?
He did. And he got a stereo system and set it up in his man cave, the den up at the front of the house. And he'd get reel to reel, and he put together his compilations of favorite tracks. So I saw him doing recording. And then he'd have fun doing things like teaching me how to shave and recording the instructions on how to do that in the front bathroom. And so that was my first time seeing a reel to reel and someone recording themselves at home. So that's how I first saw how recording was done and how music was made. And I, when it came time to go to junior high school, so I heard all about clarinet players. So I decided I'd play clarinet in the junior high marching band and concert band. So that's how I learned how to play music and played my first instrument.
You mean in the pad you grew up there in Anaheim?
Yeah.
Our home, right, in German. There was no musical instruments. Your pop played the tape recorder.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
believe it or not, Kel, I've had guests on, and they used tape machines as, like, instruments.
Sure.
Yeah, believe it or not. Like Lou Barlow on that last song on Dinosaur, You're Living All Over Me, Polito. I think he's got like 20 layers of cassettes. The hiss finally Bogart's over the content. So what was the first record you bought with your own money?
So I remember I was in the checkout line at, they used to call them Save on Drugstores before they changed to CVS.
Actually, there's a name in between.
Oh, it was
Osco, which is slang for fart, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so whoops. Yeah, we don't want to call it Oscar. Like pedal, huh? Okay,
so what happened? So I was going through the checkout line, and I saw this record. It was Cream Live. And so it was like rock and roll, and it had a picture of a guitar player on it. And I thought, oh, you know, I want to get that. That looks really cool. And so I got that, brought it home, and, you know, had no idea the difference between a live album and a studio album. It was just you know, new music, rock and roll music, and so I was just happy to get my hands on it.
I remember those records. There was actually a volume one and a volume two. I don't know if you recall.
Right.
Because, yeah, they might have been the Albert Hall. It might have been the last gig.
You know, I don't know. I just remember it had kind of like a red cover. I should have taken a look to see if I could find it.
I remember
there
was two. One had Tales of Brave Ulysses, but also Disraeli Gears. Like one album, I think, was live, and one was had Crossroads and shit. Yeah, a bunch of noise coming off some paper
right.
You're doing here. You might not hear, but it's really loud over the microphone here.
Let me see if I can switch.
No, it stops. What happens is you got some papers there or something. But it's no big dealio.
So what was the first? What's
not happening? It's like incidental, Kel. All of a sudden there'll be this big rush of papers and shit. Sound. I don't know. I can't see, right? So first gig you went and saw live.
Oh, that was funny. A friend of mine called into a radio station and got free tickets. And we went and saw that Canadian band, the Guess Who. We saw them at Anaheim Convention Center.
Oh, yeah. Remember that, what were they called, the Amigos? There was an ABA team that lasted a couple games. There was the Anaheim Amigos. ABA was supposed to be some challenge to the NBA, another basketball team. That's where I remember the name of that place. But Guess Who was the first 45 I bought was American Woman.
Oh, okay.
Winnipeg band. And people say three chords. That motherfucker's one chord. Talking about Econo.
You don't need more than one chord.
Yeah, I know. But you know the big joke is three chords, right? Well, there's songs that are one chord, like Funhouse and TVI and American Woman. Land of a Thousand Dances, I think. Harry Nilsson, Lime in the Coconut. I think that's all C7. One part.
Okay.
So three parts is pretty prog. Compared to that shit. Okay, so now what about the thing?
Yeah, I remember.
What about the thing? Not after high school, like or junior high, graduating, but in the afternoon. Now, did you use that clarinet to rock a, you know, garage band, bedroom band, basement band?
You know, I didn't. And what happened was, I was like, you know, I like music, and I'm pretty good at it, but you know, I couldn't see how to figure my clarinet into, you know, like more modern music. I didn't have enough of a perspective of what you could do at that point. So I picked up guitar and took a few lessons.
No, how'd that happen? Tell me about you picked up guitar. I mean, how'd that happen?
Well, you know, I was, so what happened was I was at home. I played all through high school. And then I went to my local college, Cal State Fullerton, and I was going to be a music and performance major. And so I did that for, oh gosh, a year, year and a half. And it was like, you know, this isn't happening for me. So what do I really want to do with music? Because I want to play something, you know, modern, contemporary rock music. So I initially, this is funny, initially I wanted to play drums. But it was like, well, that's a, you know, a lot of room, a lot of noise. I'll play bass, okay? And then I thought, well, gosh, I have to get a bass and a bass amp. Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll start with an acoustic guitar, you know, figure out how to work my fingers, and then I'll move to bass. So I picked up a cheap acoustic guitar, and we had a friend of the family who was an old jazzer who had played jazz before he got married. And so he was just down the street, and I did some lessons and kind of got up to speed. And then by that time, that's when I transferred to UCLA. I had just started playing guitar. And and right around that time is when I met John and Kevin in the dorms at UCLA. So I picked up guitar wanting to make a transition to playing, you know, modern music, not older classical music or jazz stuff.
But now you said you took some lessons.
Right. Right. Took a summer of lessons, and he basically showed me.
I want to know about that experience, because, you know, usually it's the piano lessons that almost drive people from even doing music. So how was your experience?
He was great. We just set up in his living room, and he showed me first position chords. So you can get going on that.
Cowboy chords, right?
Cowboy chords. And then he showed me how to do bar chords, where you could move like an E shape in the first position all the way up the neck, and that was like, you know, the world open up. And then the other bar shape where you start with an A and you move that up the neck, and it was like, okay, you've got so many chords you can't keep up with it. So,
well, you know, it's kind of like the finger looks like a bar, but it's actually some dude's name because it's spelled like two R's and an E, right?
Yeah.
And what you're doing is the index finger's kind of becoming a capo.
That's right. Yeah.
And open tuning, people, which, you know, actually comes from the banjo. And that's how most guys are doing slide and blues.
So, yeah, you know, it's funny. When I felt like kind of a dead end a number of years ago,
yeah,
on my writing, someone started talking about open tunings. And so that opened up a whole other world of writing. Yeah.
You know who got into that? Was and he learned it from Ry Cooder, I think, was Keith Richard, right? He went to the five strings. There's something, just changing your perspective, I think, can refresh, get you reinvigorated. I want to play something from the urinals. I'm a bug.
We'll be right back. skeleton yellow. Spy glasses until lunch. Until then, keep us here. Yeah.
Get on the team. Fade and burn. Fade and ripper. Fade and fire. For his mother. Wow, what a show. 122 hours of fear. 122 hours of fear. 122 hours up there. 122. 122. 122. 122.
Something down here, please. Monica's David.
Barely lifting your head while bleeding red, your half-dead kisses, they comfort me. As all of my fears begin to appear, they tell me as I stand there helplessly. And somewhere between my furrowed horseful drilling and pampering is where I'm focusing. Everything I know I didn't know that I know. In a flash of an instant it's surfacing. You're the ones who know what this means. You're the ones who go there with me. You're the say something. I lost me in a moment to find me in a moment where everything ended up horribly. 3 days when I leave, I want to leave as three of me as they wheel you away from me. This isn't happening as I witness you drift, and no words can describe what's been done to me. You're the ones who know what this means. You're the ones who go there with me. You're the ones who dream what I dream. You're the ones.
lost them both when she was young. Thinks about them when the day is done. Don't know what day it is or where she's been. Cries in the morning, cries at night. Tries to keep her head on right, but she can't anyway. Prays to God for another day. Caught in a cage filled with rage, filled with loss, filled with shame. Nobody out there to feel her pain. When you feel like no one's ever found you, wants to die, wants to scream, wants to live and wants to dream. Still nobody out there to ease the pain. When you feel like no one's ever found you, just remember you've got wings of a thousand angels. From deep inside, heal the heart you cannot hide. Let it go, feel your spirit fly. Break that cage, turn the page, let the light consume your rage. Feel the power, release your pain. You feel like no one's ever found you. Just remember you've got wings of a thousand angels. And you feel like there's no one there to ground you. Just remember you've got wings of a thousand angels.
Roll the
spot for Pedro. Show that chunk of music. Start off with Urinals doing I'm a Bug. Then next part of that, you know, keep fucking this up. Iriamu, Will Hamilton's a spirit name for his big piece here, and this is a sexy song. It's he has a big old song cycle, and this is one of the components. Guided by Voices, brand new, Bob Pollard, right? Must be every other month. This guy, prolific, is not. That short changes his delivery. Instinct Dwelling. Shiverboard after that with the Loose Floorboard. Mark Bingham. Him having some fun with John Coltrane's Giant Steps. He was on the show last week. Great cat. In Louisiana. Screamers. This, the other version, right, that's out there. You know, they wouldn't make a record, people. They thought they were over. Only videos. 122 Hours of Fear. Great.
Yeah,
track.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, wasn't that a trip? I mean, there's some Target Video stuff and some demos they made, but, yeah, they wouldn't. They were actually, they were the first band that could sell out the Whiskey People, and they didn't even have a guitar. You know, punk was, 70s punk is a trip. It wasn't just fast guitar. It was like anything you could get out there, really.
Anything you put together and get up on stage and do.
Yeah, there was no real, it wasn't really a style of music. It was more of a state of mind or something. Anyway, Almighty Op after that. This guy he puts on puppet shows at K-Town, but he also writes songs and sings them too. And he's recording these himself at his pad. You're the Ones. Yeah, S-I-C people. I didn't fuck up pronounce. Carolyn Morosi after that with Thousand Angels. And finally, Trotsky Ice Pick. There's a post-urinal project that you got involved with. I Want to Buy You Lunch. Okay, so we did a big jump. I played the quad at Cal State Fullerton. But from there, because UCLA, I thought you were going to be a film student. Or was that just John and Kevin?
Yeah, that was John and Kevin. They were the two film students.
Okay, so you went to UCLA also to do music. Okay, I didn't know that.
Actually, Mike, what I did is I stopped pursuing music in school and just did it with the bands. I was studying philosophy.
Okay.
I changed my major.
And who'd you end up liking?
What's that?
As far as philosophers.
Gosh, you know, the one that really got me going was a guy named John Rawls, and
okay.
He was a political philosopher. He came up with this idea that if you want to come up with a society that's fair to everybody, you try and do this thought experiment where no one knows where they're going to land. It's kind of like you got amnesia about who you are, and it's like, okay, what kind of system do we want to set up that's going to be fair no matter where I end up? And so he had this whole book that was really interesting about trying to come up with a system that everybody would agree to would be fair. And if there's any kind of differences that are disadvantages to people, that you have to justify it in a way that makes sense for, like, the greater good.
The rest. But, okay.
And you got to try and find a way to bring everybody back up to where they're relatively equal in their opportunities and what their advantages are. So he was a really interesting guy. He actually came out and talked at UCLA.
Awesome. You got to see him personally.
You know,
okay.
Yeah. He had this towering book, and he was like this giant figure in philosophy. And I came into the room, and he's like the quietest kind of, you know, skinny little guy who, you know, you would think that he'd be as imposing in person as his ideas are on the paper. And it was completely different, but he was brilliant.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover, like, literally. Right. So now, is it just a fucking accident you meet Kevin and John?
Yeah. Okay. So we ended up on the same floor in Dykstra Hall Dormitory. Purely by accident. They didn't know each other, and I didn't know them. They ended up as roommates. And so when I got on the floor after the second quarter, they had already been there. They'd met and become friends. You know, it's funny. You just kind of gravitate towards people who have the kind of same artistic sensibilities that you do. And so we just kind of found ourselves hanging out after a while. I didn't even know when the first time I was, you know, that I met him. But slowly it's like they're part of my group. I'm part of theirs. And we just started hanging out together.
That's a trip. And you guys actually have your first gig recorded.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We played, gosh, what was it? We played at the end of our first year altogether in a cafeteria. I think they had some kind of like end of the year talent show. And we thought, you know, we're going to really screw with their minds. We're going to put together a set. And yeah, John, we got it recorded and John has that. I don't know if it's been out, but it's definitely recorded and we've got some photos.
Now, how'd you get ready for that gig?
Well, you know, we just drove our people on our floor crazy. We got together in our dorm rooms and kind of put together some songs.
Tell me the first Yertle song that got put together.
Gosh, I think this is before I met John and Kevin. They had just a loose group of people, and they it was almost like vocals and some guy with the guitar.
You mean there's another version of Urinals before you joined?
Well, so what happened was they didn't really rehearse and perform. It was just kind of like a one-off thing. And so once we started meeting and talking and saying, hey, you know, this guy plays guitar. He's really good. And John wanted to play bass. And so I was like, well, I wanted to play bass, but I know how to play guitar too. But we got a guitar player, so I'll play keyboard. And then we've got, you know, someone who could sing who was like a performing arts major on our floor. So she took care of the vocals. We just got in a dorm room and kind of hammered out these. We did the Jam cover. We did another cover. I can't remember what it was. I think we did the Jetsons theme song.
And where did you learn keyboard? Because you didn't mention that.
Yeah. So this is great. So we were looking for instruments and, you know, we didn't have any money. So Kevin and I and John, we went to this toy store outside of UCLA in the Village.
Westwood, yeah.
Yeah, so he found a drum set that was really a kid's drum set.
Like paper heads, right?
Yeah, cheap. And then check this out. They had this little toy organ.
Yeah.
And what was great about it is you didn't have to know how to play chords because you just press a button and it had the chord. There's a few songs that didn't have those chords and buttons, so what I did is I figured it out by ear, and then I put tape on it, on the keys, and wrote the notes, so I knew where to put my fingers.
Yeah, I see the picture of the class when they started. The bass player put the names of the notes on the frets. I thought that was crazy. He just wrote with magic marker right on the fucking fretboard. I thought that was pretty bitchy. And okay, so just a five-person version of the Urinals.
Yeah, we had Kevin on drums, John on bass, Steve Willard on guitar, I still remember him, me on keyboard, and then Delia Frankel, she was the other person, she fronted the band. So we had a five-piece for one show.
For one show, see, I didn't know about that. I thought it was you three guys. So the first Urinal, but were you called Urinals?
Yes, we were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Thank you for indulging me, Kel.
All right.
October 22, 2022 edition of Peter. So special guest, Kel Johansson. Hold time for hour two. October 22, 2022. It's the second hour of Peter Show.
My voice in stereo sound. I just wanna see my lovely face on a new CD. You know, my dear, your love got me here. You broke down and you cried. Then I stole your words and I said goodbye. Now I wanna be
Streaming car. Thank you.
people. She'll start off second hour
with Sir Klons, New Praj, Kells Got Go.
I want to be your radio, not in your arms, in parentheses, people. Then we had Eugene Chadbourne, Professor Dr. Eugene Chadbourne. Just as soon as I came home, Cernazuk with Isganea Budu Kost. Sorry for fucking up the Croatians, Serbian, Slovenian. Yeah, I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. Because I love the music. I'm just terrible with pronouncing. I'm terrible with the English, too, people. So, equal opportunity fuck-upper. Uklet Dukat with Okreni Se. And then Ples, which Slovene it means dance. They gave me a little translation here. Thank you. Trobakova Krishna Pesci, live at Club Koka, Split. Dalmatia Coast, Croatia. 2015. A Troop of Troop out of Poland was moving. And then Cirklons, Blue Cheer. Not the band, but the tune. So, people, long history Kel had with the Urinals, which changed their name to 100 Flowers, back to Urinals. And we heard some Trotsky Ospik last hour. That was the prod you did after?
Yeah, after...
And you had some Danny and the Doorknob guys?
So 100 Flowers broke up, and then the guy who did all the recording, Vitas Monterey, who you
right,
know.
Right, of course. Also with The Last, keyboards for The Last.
Right, so he wasn't happy with The Last, so he and I started a small project called Danny and the Doorknobs, and then it went from a recording project to a live band, and we changed the name to Trotsky Ospik and added some more members.
In fact, John, for a little while, or maybe still.
Yeah. So he joined us after Danny and the Doorknobs, Poison Summer, and then the Baby album, which is our first on SST. After that, he joined us for El Kabong and has sung with the band since then.
That's right. And then him and Kevin went and did Rad Waste and basically pieced out a trap drum set to like Debbie. And there was like five guys, right? Each dude had a different part of the trap set.
Instead of having one person play a drum set, they took each drum apart, set it on its own stand, and had one person play it. So it was visually really cool and really loud, but in a good way.
I know. Really loud. I remember. Oh, God. In fact, I see them, I think, the night D-Boom, we lost him. Because I remember, it was maybe opening for somebody at the Roxy.
They opened for Jesus and Mary Jane.
Maybe it was that. And I didn't see them, but on the way home, I crossed that street, Willoughby in Hollywood, you know? Willoughby in, near Pink's on La Brea. And I remember that fucking Twilight Zone, you know? Willoughby, next stop, Willoughby.
Next stop,
oh,
Willoughby.
Fuck.
Right.
And it turns out there ain't no town. It's the name of the goddamn... hearse, right? Or a funeral home. Oh,
right,
fuck.
Right.
Yeah, that fuck still does. But anyway, this hour we played something called Cirklons, and that's what is happening now. So tell us the story of the Cirklons.
So, we got back together, did some 100 Flowers shows, and then, I wanted to keep doing some solo stuff because I had done some solo stuff after I left the Urinals. And also on a break from Trotsky Ospik. So I wanted to get back and see, you know, write my own music and kind of chart the course. And after I did my solo project, which was, you played a couple songs, I did an EP, Pie Man versus the Lightbulb Men, and then Tower of Isolation in 2000 and the 2003. And so...
Were those under Kel Johansson or Cirklons?
No, that was under Kel Johansson.
That's what I thought, because I played them on the show.
Yeah, so that was solo. And then did some more stuff, you know, with John and Kevin. And then I thought, you know, okay, I want to branch out again. And so this time a friend of mine said, look, you know, you write good stuff, you play good guitar, but sorry, I don't think you can sing really good. So why don't you have a different singer on every track? And I thought, well, that'd be really interesting. So... I took that and ran with it. So what I would do is I would come up with the music and the arrangement. And then me and the guys, it's Hunter Crowley on drums, who played with The Last and played in Trotsky Ospik. Yeah. And Tom Hofer, who plays bass, right. He was in the Leaving Trains and joined Trotsky.
Right.
And then Steve Andrews, who's a guitar player who played in The Last and did some recording with Vetus. We got together and we hammered out all these song ideas and we recorded them in one weekend. So we had like, I don't know, 20-something song ideas. And so then I just started saying, which ones can I write lyrics to? And then I'd write the lyrics to a demo and think, okay, who'd be good for this? So, you know, I started thinking of people that had done covers of our stuff that we played with that, you know, are great singers. And then sometimes some songs I was stumped and I couldn't come up with lyrics, ideas. So I just, you know, get in touch with people and say, hey, you know, I've got this song idea. Do you think you could finish it up? So like, on the upcoming album that's still yet to be released, you know, for example, like Steve Wynn, I said, hey, Steve, I got this track. And we played with Steve's, you know, Dream Syndicate opening for them a lot. So, I said, this is what I got. Are you interested? And so he was, and he recorded a vocal and sent it to me. Or,
cause I think he's in Hudson Valley now, right?
He's pretty far away. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, other folks.
Who's
like,
the cat? Who's the cat on, Moon Over Babaluma?
Okay, so that is, that's Barbara Manning.
Okay, I want to play that right now, then we'll talk about it.
there's nothing left. Beneath my feet, there's just a void. My breath makes no steam in the darkness. I call out, but the sound of my voice goes no farther than my lips. I sense a light behind me, but I cannot turn around. My breath is steaming in the darkness. It all doesn't seem to matter anymore. I can't think of anything I need to do. I don't see anything in front of me. The ringing in my ears fades away. I wonder why. It has been my companion for such a long time. Did I write enough songs? Did I write too many? How did I write all those words? Sometimes they don't seem like mine. I remember an anime. It was drawn in a cave. It was made by hand. Made by hand.
the name of that bar. The bar is called heaven. And the band in heaven, they play your favorite song. They'll play it one more time, then play it all night long. Oh, heaven, heaven is a place, a place where nothing ever happens. Oh, heaven, heaven is a place, a place where nothing ever happens. And there's a party, and everyone is there, and everyone will leave at exactly the same time. It's hard to imagine how much of nothing at all could ever be so exciting, could be that much fun. Oh, heaven, heaven is a place where
I'm Thank you.
Waffle Fever Show, that chunk of music started off with Sir Clons, Moon Over Babaluma. And then we had Tropical Fuckstorm out of Australia with, I think this is Cover Cure Heaven. And then, man, this band's got the titles, okay? This is Rubber O' Cement. And it's like, Hot Bod, Snod, Knobbery, The Lookout World with four leveled eyes, Nostril Mystery Matter, and Microphone Copyright. Sour Drown, Petals Fall from a Shit Bunker, no, Bungler, Just a Roundworm, Just a Sound Germ. Is that a fucking title? Especially for a song that's a minute and a half. All right. And then Ray Shin with...
It takes longer to say it than it does to play it.
As quiet as it's kept. Maybe it was A, B, and C. Like, there's like different parts. Maybe I fucked that up. Sorry, guys. Rubber O' Cementers. They're what they call their scene, the Brutal Noise Crew or some shit. The East Bay of Oaktown. And then Sir Clons with When Only the Music is Pretty. Sir Clons, where'd you get that name, Cal?
You know, it's funny. I was, one of these times just kind of surfing online and following wherever the trail leads. And I came across this I think it was a documentary or was it a book that talked about these, so you've got artists that, they call them fringe artists. They're not part of any
outsider
kind of formal training. Thing like, yeah, outsider. So what I didn't know is there's outsider scientists, right? People who come up with these ideas, theories about how to explain the universe and the physical world, and they have outsider theories. And so this one guy, I think his name is James Carter, he had this theory that the world isn't made up of atoms and molecules, but they're made up of zirklons. And so it's just a really interesting look into a world I had no idea about. I'd known about outsider artists, but I didn't know about outsider scientists. And so I thought, that's a really, really cool idea. And I really kind of like the idea of people being outsiders coming up with their own take on things. And they got really interesting minds. And so I thought, hey, I like that as an inspiration and as a handle.
Yeah, because actually, every tune is its own band, right? But there was a core of cats.
There was a core, yeah. But every song featured different vocalists, and I tried to have a different guest artist, like sax or strings or trumpet or keyboards or something to where every track is really stands on its own.
It's got its own persona. It's like its own world.
Yeah.
But still, there's a consistency because of the core members. So right, the front person, and then you brought in another instrument to get, make that more apparent. Yeah, great idea. A little similar to what I was trying to do with my Ball Hogger Tugboat. But I was just trying to put out the theory, if the bass player knew the song, anybody could play with it. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. October 22, 2022. It is Wapito. So special guest, Kel Johansson. Hope that round three. October 22, 2022. It's the third hour of the Waffle Pedro Show.
Top my tower of Galileo. for us to witness the first light of the day. The sun is never late, it doesn't come. They only went off when we turned our own lights on. The stars will see from other places, the hidden trees. This way and the breeze, whether or not we are breathing. Maybe. Lay a crown. Another one or two when our spouse in the meantime go. Oh.
for Pivo Show. Start off third hour with Tower of Isolation. Now, this is Kel Johansson's song. So maybe I got out of sequence. Was this actually before the Circlon stuff?
Yes, it was. Okay. That came out in 2003.
Okay. So this was when you were like in Kel solo land still. I remember when you were putting this together, you had still had guests and stuff. Didn't me and Kay do some?
You know, that's on the upcoming album. Yeah, okay. you and Kira are on one of the tracks. Yeah, okay. You trade off vocals, verse, and chorus. So that's going to be coming out in the new year.
Okay. No wine before it's time, right? Mr. Right. Wells learned this. Mini Beast, this is Peter. He used to do drums for Mission of Burma, and now he's a guitar man. Yep, you always do that, don't you? No, not always. But Roger Clark Miller, right? He's a old guitar guy in Mission of Burma. He's got his own solo record here. And this is him working with guitar sounds. And it's called Dream Interpretation Number 13. They're all interpretations. It's a trippy record. Roger, I like Mini Beast too, though. You could tell how intense the drums is, though. It's like Dave Grohl, you know. Sure, he's going to play guitar, but you know the drummer's going to get informed by the boss. And then Joshua Abrams, Tameka Reed, and Dave Rempis with Winter Cities. No, Sister Cities. God, what? Getting blind. Larana. From Sam Wagstaer, Curse of Lomo, with Ursula Andress, maybe the actress, tribute. Midwestern Medicine, from their new album, Where the End Goes. And finally, because I thought this was a good song to end with, California Falls into the Ocean, 100 Flowers. Everybody's hoping, because they're jealous of our weather, so we got to get some kind of karma back in, even out the bank account. So you're saying now this Circlon stuff's divided up into a couple releases.
Yeah, so the first release is a 4-song EP, and that's out on Poison Summer Records, was released October 7th. And then in the new year, we're going to finish mixing the rest of the songs, release it on an album. Don't know if it will come out on Poison Summer or someplace else, but we're definitely going to release that and promote it with some live shows, too.
I fucked up. People, I just told you the songs we're going to play next. Once we already played. Yeah, we did play Tower of Isolation, Kel Johansson. But then after that, we had Mini Beast, right, with Peter. And then Roger with his guitar thing. But then we had Stefano Poli out of Italy with part one of his aria. Not aria, aria, maybe. But not Aria like the opera thing. Then Hot Pursuit of Happiness, this is Tom's new proj. Son, don't wait. And then Kel Johansson with Perfect for the Underground. Is this from the 2003 thing also?
You know, that was an earlier EP that came out in 2000.
Is that the Light Bulb Man?
That is. Pine Man versus the Light Bulb Man.
So, you know what? It's probably the second play, because I remember playing that whole thing when I got it. I was so excited to hear new music from you. Yeah, I remember that. God, that was like 20 years ago. Even still, Kel, when I hear 2000s, you know what I mean? It don't sound like the old days, right? But it is. So the beginning ones are, anyway.
Yeah, I used to think the late 70s, early 80s was the old days. Now it's moved up 20 years.
Yeah. Now, we're going to play something called Narrow Adventure. What's this? Enlighten us.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was playing with the Urinals and 100 Flowers, and then part of the people that we hung out with were a couple of sisters, Christy and Kelly Callan, and they had tried to start a band, a three-piece band, two guitars and drums. Steve Wynn was one of the guitarists.
Of course.
Christy was on guitar and vocals, and her sister Kelly on drums. Their name was Goat Deity. I think they might have played one show, but they certainly did most of their playing like in the living room or in the garage. And so Steve left, and they needed someone to fill in. Instead of second guitars, they wanted someone to play bass. And, you know, I got to know them. They're really great folks and, you know, big fans of The Last and Urinals and Hunter Flowers. So I said, hey, I'll pick up a bass and I'll learn how to play it and help you guys.
Because you wanted to do bass, right, all those years ago. Yeah. So now here's your shot.
So this is great. I don't know if of course you remember this. Back in the days before the internet, they had this thing that was called the Recycler that came out every Thursday. Yeah, so you grab
all my cars, all my instruments, everything came from that thing.
so Vitas, who knew I was looking for a bass, he found this Hagstrom Swedish 8-string bass, and said, hey, you know, it's $150. You ought to go out and buy it. So I called up the guy, set up a meeting, and I went out to Hollywood. He opens the door, and I come in, and he showed it to me, and I'm kind of looking around, and there's this drum set, and then there's this picture of Soupy Sales on the wall, and I'm kind of like looking at him and looking, you know, I go,
Tony Sales?
It was Hunt.
Hunt, the drummer man.
Yeah, he had a bass, and he goes, I said, is that your dad? He goes, yeah.
Because they end up the rhythm section for Ig for a few years.
Right.
I think that's Hunt on Lust for Life.
I think you're right. Yeah. So for some reason, he had an old Hagstrom lying around, and so the price is right. I bought it, and that's what I used on all our live shows and all the recordings. And what we did is we did a lot of studio recordings, and we did some live recordings. Vitas recorded us playing live. But for some reason, we never put it out. And I'd forgotten all about it. And then a couple years ago, Christy got back in touch with me and said, hey, you know, we've got all this material. We'd like to release it. So I said, yeah, that's great. So it ended up being a cassette-only release on Burger. And it came out, I think, 2 weeks before Burger blew up. So
it blew up in a bad way, people.
Yeah, really bad way. So that was over. So we're like, well, gosh, what are we going to do? And so John Callie Jones had worked with this guy, Ryan Leach, in Austin on releasing a Hunter Flowers single. We did a cover of a Fascist Groove Thing. And so he had interviewed me, and he was a really cool guy. And so I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, I know you've got a small label, Space Case Records, out of Austin. We've got these recordings. We're looking for a label. And he just, he lit up. He was like, I love it. I'll put it out. So he put it out on his label, and we did some videos for it. We did some live shows. We played at Zebulon. We went to San Diego. We played the Sardine in
Pedro.
Yeah, and Redwood a couple times in downtown L.A. So it was great playing those old songs. And so, it was unreleased stuff that never got out. So it wasn't like it was re-released. It's the first time it's come out.
Okay, let's listen, people.
bunker on my hands and on my knees. I didn't catch what Jimmy said about girls and dreams and cigarettes. Becky's got her top off, and I know she's just a tease. Oh, my, my, I'm sipping margaritas on the backseat, and she's singing to the radio. My, my, hey, hey, honey's just a dream, and she feels like a surrender dress when she stole.
Yeah.
Lock for Peter, last music for this dish. I told you last time, but yeah, our adventure. Kel Johansson on 8-string bass, people. Beautiful. And of course, we ended up with California Falls in the Ocean, 100 Flies. So this new record, the new Sir Klons. What's the name of the label? And is there a website?
Yeah, it's Poison Summer Records.
And, so PoisonSummerRecords.com?
Yeah, Poison Summer Records, all one word.
Okay.
And then it's available on Bandcamp.
Ah, Bandcamp. Go to the Bandcamp and search for that, people.
Yeah.
And Sir Klons, CIRCLONS.
Right.
And is there going to be some Sir Klon gigs?
You know, actually, we've got one tonight on the 22nd in Culver City. At the cinema bar.
Okay. So, well, I played last month for Lance Bang's 55 B-Day.
Yeah. So, and then we don't have anything set up, but we're going to try and do some stuff in December and definitely the new year.
Was it 55 or 50? Some of these guys are so young.
They're kids, Mike. They're kids.
Just kidding. And I got to jam with David Palho and Brett from the Slant. Human Fly, right? And Jesus Lizard song. But good luck at that gig. That used to be the silent movie cinema there on Fairfax. It's a couple doors down from Canner's. I got a chopped liver sandwich right before the gig. Love
so,
it.
Yeah, so now it's down on Sepulveda Boulevard, and it's right off the freeway.
Okay.
Small little place, and one of the things that's great about it is, you know, for our first gig, we don't need to fill up the room very much to make it look like there's a lot of people there. So.
Character builders, that's what we call
it. Yes.
And is there a Kel Johansson website?
You know, I think it's all just Sir Klons.
Okay.
Yeah, the SirKlons.com.
Okay, people. CIRCLONS.com. Look, okay. When you come out, put out the second batch of stuff, please come back on the show and we can get more into Sir Klons in depth.
That sounds like
plus, you guys will have some gigs under your belt. We can talk about that.
That sounds good.
Beautiful. Been always inspiration to me, Brother Kel. Thank you so much for coming on the show, truly.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. It's really great talking to you.
Absolutely. Can't wait till you're back. People, it's been October 22, 2022. Edition of Pito Shakib, your power.